This is the 9 on Calgary's All Sports Radio, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
We're back. It is the 9. My name is Matt Rose. I'm in for Ryan Pinder. Thank you so much for joining us today. Lots coming up on the show. We got Rintoul and Sermon at 10 o'clock. Big show at 2 o'clock. Blue Jays taking on the Red Sox, trying to bounce back. We'll join that in progress at 6. Plenty to get to today. Plenty to discuss. But let's take you back. One of the gents who usually joins us in the 8 o'clock hour. We had to move him to the 6 today is Adnan Virk, our MLB insider. Dialed in on a lot of things as we get closer to the trade deadline for the majors. Here's Adnan Virk from a little earlier today.
From Cinephile Podcast, from MLB Network, hell, from the NHL Network, and he's part of the Dan Le Batard media empire. Adnan Virk, everybody.
Rob, a pleasure to reunite, my man. There's nobody.
How are you, brother?
Than you. I'm doing great, man. How you doing? How's your summer been? Family good?
Well, you know what? It's been hectic because the day job involves, you know, getting a junior hockey team up and running again. So we've been busy. So not much of a summer, but it's good. I mean, it's, you know, when last we spoke over Christmas, you know, everything was kind of weird, bizarre. It was all off by a little bit. And here we are, you know, in the middle of summer. It's still off by a little bit. I mean, we got an NBA final tonight and an expansion draft in the NHL, but it does feel a little bit normal. A lot has happened since you and I've talked. I mean, I said this to you, like, dude, nobody swings in life from their heels like you do. You take cut. You're everywhere.
Yeah.
But I do want to start here, if you're okay, because early on in our friendship, when we first started talking, you have been a rather vocal advocate for inclusion. You have been someone who has spoken up and talked about the need to allow people to come into the sports tent in life. Quite a story yesterday involving a young man I'm very proud to say that plays for the Calgary Hitmen, Luke Prokop.
No question about it, Rob. I mean, we're trying, right? I think like I feel like life right now, we're like this locomotive, you know, we're lurching. We're trying to get to the finish line. We're trying to get out of COVID-19. We're trying to get out of the cesspool of despair, of so much anger and intolerance. And when Luke Prokop feels comfortable enough to announce he's gay, it's a major step. It really is, because we've had moments, we've had players who have identified as gay and then kind of gone by the wayside. Michael Sam, of course, notably in the NFL, just didn't have a career. So what you hope is that, listen, eventually, and I don't, it's going to take years to get there, Rob, but eventually we're going to get to the point that someone announces their sexual orientation, and it becomes a footnote. It's something completely irrelevant, because at that point, we're so tolerant and we're so inclusive. You go, okay, great. Well, moving on. And can he play? Like, I don't care if he's gay or not. So, but we're nowhere near that. So right now, it's a point to celebrate inclusion. It's to celebrate Luke Prokop for having the guts, for feeling comfortable enough, for having a great support system, for feeling comfortable enough within his skin, for being willing to deal with, I'm sure there's going to be, taunts and having to deal with homophobia. There's a lot that goes with this announcement. It's not just going to be pomp and circumstance and celebration. I'm sure there's negativity that comes with it. But good for him for having the strength of character to be comfortable in his own skin and to announce it to the entire world. It really is something special.
I also wonder a little bit, because of his age. He's 19. He just got drafted in the National Hockey League. And I've said it all morning. And then I think that it's so critical that young people who in this case could struggle with confusion or at least have somebody to look up to that they can relate to. Not to say that Michael Sam at, you know, 22 or 23 was difficult, but you know what I'm trying to say. I just feel for those young kids that are so, you know, trying to live their lives, right?
Yeah, Rob, if you talk to anybody of, you know, a minority or, you know, somebody who's just other, you know, someone who's not part of the mainstream, they'll say it's so important to see symbols. Because once you see symbols, you say, well, I can do that too. So in the case of Michael Sam, unfortunately, we just never saw him thrive in the NFL level. So it becomes a story that kind of just goes away. Whereas if Prokop can become a player of substance, and by the way, he already is a person of substance, to be clear. But if he can become a player of substance, it really is meaningful to someone who's young and gay, saying, you know what, I'm struggling right now. I'm not sure if my parents are accepting. I'm not sure if my community is accepting. But man, I love watching hockey, and I love this guy, what he stands for. And hey, if he can do it, maybe I can too. You cannot overestimate how important that is. That's why someone like Kim Ang is so important, a female general manager of Asian descent in Major League Baseball, because all of a sudden one person can really influence a generation of people. And it may sound like we're being Pollyannas, but I really think it's 100% true.
Your former stablemate at The Score, Elliot Friedman, representation matters. That's what he talked about.
Yeah.
And it's so true. right?
Absolutely, and Freach knows that. Listen, Elliott spoke with the fact that he's battled Tourette's, and that's something that you know, I remember thinking, like, this guy is the top of the food chain in terms of talent in our industry. And for Elliott to be honest about that and to be candid, I mean, there's some other kid out there with Tourette's going, wow, if Elliott Friedman can overcome this, then maybe I can try to overcome it. So, I mean, it's Elliott's a great example of another guy who's so hardworking and obviously a big element, I think, towards success for all media, especially all of those from the score. So, yeah, representation matters across the board.
Adnan Virk, by the way, needs no introduction, but he's our guest. I want to just – here's something that you and I don't normally talk about, the NBA. But we're sitting on a Game 6 tonight in the middle of July, which is only 2021, 50 years since the last time the Bucks won a title. And I don't want to put the cart in front of the horse because certainly, you know, I think if you go back to the NBA bubble, has there been a bigger story than the Phoenix Suns? But here we are, Giannis about possibly to win that ever so important title. How important is this in the grand scheme of things in the super team NBA where we're going to get LeBron and his buddies or Harden and his buddy? How important is it to have two teams that are not super teams that are, you know, yes, have in the case of the Bucks have a superstar player, but how important is it to have kind of homegrown teams here?
Oh, I think it's huge, Rob. Like, you know, I think you and I are obviously avid sports fans. And if you'd asked me a couple of weeks ago how the Milwaukee Bucks ever won a title, I'd be hard-pressed to give you an answer. Like, I'm aware the Suns in 93 and Charles Barkley, of course, that great team. But I'm like, I don't think they've won Bucks. I'm like, I don't think so. And, like, yes, you're right. We're one win away from 50 years in 1971 and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. So it's a great story for Milwaukee. How about the fact that they're running with the fact that First Take, you know, Molly Caron kind of made a flippant comment about nobody wants to go to those terrible cities like Milwaukee and Phoenix. Now they got T-shirts everywhere with a terrible city, proud member of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So it's good to see the people of Wisconsin, you know, taking on the chin but firing back. And as far as the team is themselves, listen, Giannis is one of those transcendent superstars. But as you and I know, you got to get a title to really get recognized. So the last few years, he's been MVP quality, but the Raptors upset them. And, you know, we weren't sure about this year. Maybe the big three of Brooklyn would be the favorites in the East. So it's tremendous for him to be in a final, and he's been tremendous. I mean, that last game, when he misses those two free throws, which is the one hole in this game, you go, oh, my goodness, wow, Milwaukee's going to blow this. And then they come back, and that thunderous alley-oop from Jrue Holiday. You talk about punctuation, maybe a statement of this NBA Finals. Giannis is able to prove that. So I'm with you. I've been reluctant to embrace this new NBA of players colluding together. I call me old-fashioned, but I like the idea of Patrick Ewing, like Sisyphus, trying to push the boulder up the hill, and it keeps coming back down in the face of Michael Jordan. But at least he was trying. At least Barkley was trying to win a title. I find it a little bit tricky with these super teams to really kind of find them cuddly and embrace them. So I like the idea that Giannis is a homegrown guy in Milwaukee, that Phoenix has had talent like DeAndre Ayton and Devin Booker, and fine, you supplement with Chris Paul. Of course, all teams supplement. But it's nice to have your homegrown star. So it's been a nice throwback. Kind of reminds me of baseball when everyone kept focusing on the bullpens when the Royals in 2015 won the World Series. But then the Nationals won a World Series with old-fashioned, great starting pitching, Scherzer, Strasburg, et cetera. So it's been a fun series. I honestly thought, Rob, when Milwaukee was down 2-0, the lights were out. But this is why you can never prove a series until each team plays a home game, especially in the NBA.
So I got to ask you one last one on this one. In the world of hot takes, is there an asterisk on any title on this title? For either team anyway?
I don't think so. I know it's been an unusual year in terms of still battling COVID and fans were not there for much of the year. I think you could have got it last year because there was such a big, obviously, delay between games and they're playing the Wild World of Sports in Orlando. And again, I still think it counts. But if you wanted to argue, well, LeBron and the Lakers felt a little cheapened last year, I suppose you could have an argument. This year, I don't think so. I think it's a legit title. I think whoever wins it will be celebrated as such.
On to baseball, because you are our baseball insider. And it'd be remiss if I didn't start with the Jays, but I'm going to go as last night was a little bit of a one-off. I am more interested in the zoo, and I use that term, I think, correctly, in New York. you know what? It's kind of spin the wheel of the Mets or the Yankees. Start where you want, but that Mets team, that game against Cincinnati last night, which is, as they call it, so typical Mets. I mean, is this team imploding on us right now?
It's felt like smoke and mirrors that they're even in first place, Rob. I went and saw a game a week ago, and I'm looking at each player when they step up, their offensive statistics. And each time I'm going, egad, like these guys can't hit nobody. Lindor's had a horrific season. James McCann, big free agent catcher signing. He doesn't hit very much. I go up and down the left. Dom Smith's been a disappointment. Pete Alonso, yeah, great in the home run derby, has power, but he strikes out too much. Like, it, to me, I'm like, this starting pitching of DeGrom, who's been otherworldly, Stroman and Taiwan Walker, a couple former Jays in the mix, they're the big reason why they're in first place. And every other team in that division is 500 or worse. And I'm thinking, as long as another team steps up, like the Braves were my pick to win, but their starting pitching has been a real disappointment. If anybody just plays 600 baseball, you should win that division. And now to your point, this second half, boom, DeGrom goes in the IL after dealing with nagging injuries. He's now officially not going to pitch for a little while. Lindor on the IL, right side tightness. And that game they had the other day, when Taiwan Walker, that foul ball, for those who didn't see it, the ball was foul and then started to go fair. And he scooped the ball up, but it was still a fair ball. And the ball goes flying. Three runs score, you go, only the Mets could do that. And then with the circumstances happening last night, you go, oh, man, I mean, it's starting to get messy in New York. They're still a first-place team. But honestly, if the Phillies and Braves just show a pulse, Rob, that division's up for grabs.
Oh, it is, and it makes you wonder what happens in the next 10 days in terms of the trade deadline and who feels that they still have a legitimate shot to get in and what do they add. So let's go to the other side, which is the Yankees. Nasty incident over the weekend involving the fans and a baseball thrown back on the field. But and this isn't a new story. This is a story I think that has started, you know, really picking up steam in the last month or so. But what are we watching with Brian Cashman, the Yankees as a whole right now?
Well, I think what we're seeing is really poor roster construction from Brian Cashman. And Aaron Boone, my old buddy from our ESPN days, I feel for him because he's trying to, you know, execute a plan which is deeply flawed. First off, the lineup is way too right-handed. They're only left-handed lineups, which makes no sense considering you. I know they've got a certain short porch and right, which would be beneficial for, let's say, a Kyle Schwarber, who was a free agent a season ago. They also don't run the base as well. If you want to go by sabermetrics, BSR is a metric used on Fangraphs. They're the worst base-running team in baseball. Defensively, they're not particularly strong. There's three issues. And then the fourth one, which is there's young players have not developed the way they thought they would. They thought Gleyber Torres would be their Javier Baez, their Trevor Story, their Corey Seager. And he hasn't been that. He's got six home runs. He's barely adequate at shortstop. Clint Frazier, they thought, would be a star in the outfield. He was hitting 200 and now out with vertigo. Gary Sanchez was miserable in April and May, had a hot June, came back down to earth in July. So your young players have not stepped up, and then you're still saddled with this huge albatross contract to Carlos Stanton, who's a good player, not a great player. Aaron Judge has been your best player, and then also, unfortunately, he wasn't vaccinated, I believe. Now he's out with COVID. And then they've been built for so many years, Rob, with power hitting and power bullpen. Aroldis Chapman struggled, so all of a sudden that raises questions about your bullpen. And the power bats, how about this stat? The only way they win is if they hit home runs. It's always been that way for the Yankees the last 5 years. But this year, 65% of their home runs are solo shots. So before, they were always reliant on the three-run jack, and now it doesn't come. It's a solo home run. That's not enough offense to step up. And the biggest one is Gerrit Cole's an outstanding pitcher. After that, there's not enough depth in the rotation. It is good to see Jameson Taillon, fellow Canadian, who's been great these last five starts. That is very helpful for the Yankees. But they've got a lot of question marks for this second half.
Just to finish off with the Jays, they're going to come home. It's going to be, you know, when they come to the Rogers Center, the third home base of the season. I don't know if you heard the Ross Stripling comments after the game. And I, you know, age-old thing in the media, right? Oh, athletes never say anything, and when they say something, we want to rip them. But he was really upfront about, yeah, you know what, I wasn't thinking about this. I was thinking about leaving my family. Can you just maybe add a little context to what the Jays have been asked to do the last two seasons and what a relief it must be going back to Rogers Center?
Yeah, it's insane what these guys have had to go through. I don't think anyone can appreciate it unless you're in their shoes. Imagine if you sign with a team, like Robbie Ray has yet to pitch in Toronto, and he's in Dunedin, and then all of a sudden he's in Buffalo. You know, George Springer signs his big contract, hasn't played yet in Toronto, Marcus Semien as well. Vlad Jr., we haven't seen as a star yet because he's been in Florida and been in Buffalo. It's awfully tough if you're a young player because you're trying to acclimate to your surroundings and be successful in Major League Baseball. It's very hard if you have a family, if you have wife and kids, and they're in school, and you got to move them around, and where are we going for the summer? So I think it's been an enormous challenge for these guys. I think it's fabulous news that they're going to be back in Toronto at least for the next couple of months. I mean, that almost feels like, at the risk of hyperbole, that feels like a great trade deadline move. Like, all of a sudden, you're going to have 40,000 fans cheering you on because at Salem Field, it's 16,000. I'm sure those Buffalo fans are excited, but this is your home park again. This is your home team. So I think 40,000 fans will give the Jays a certain boost. I think they're a good team right now. I think that they've got a little bit of momentum right now. It's going to be a challenge because the Rays and the A's have the wild card spots, but God, thank God they're coming home, man. I couldn't imagine how nomadic that journey has been.
You know, I got a million more, and I could go on forever, but unfortunately they've sold ads, or fortunately they've sold ads on this station, so we have to go. But quickly, what's on Cinephile? Because it's my favorite podcast. I download, I listen, but tell the audience.
Oh, you're such a good man, Rob. So the good news is movies are back, and now every week there's a movie to review. The bad news is most of the time summer is superhero movies and sequels, yep, which is not exactly my favorite movie. So I'm reviewing Space Jam 2 on the latest podcast, which you're taping today. Let's just say the first one was average at best. The second one is not exactly going to be Citizen Kane. But we'll talk about it in depth, and good to see LeBron James at least lending his talents to the silver screen. I've also reviewed Black Widow recently, superhero movie. But the movie we got to talk about, Rob, and we will next time, hopefully, is Stillwater. It's coming out next week. It stars Matt Damon, and it's written and directed by Tom McCarthy, who's the guy who did Spotlight, the film you love as much as I do. It's a brilliant movie. I hope everyone goes and sees Stillwater. I was lucky enough to see it at a preview screening last week, so I'll review it next week on Cinephile. But it's a really special film. I think it's going to be one of the better movies of the year. It's real quick. It's Matt Damon plays a guy who's a construction worker, Trump supporter from Stillwater, Oklahoma, goes to Paris trying to help his daughter get out of prison. And there's lots to it in terms of, you know, global atmosphere, the way people view Americans, crime thriller. It's a great film. So I look forward to people checking it out.
No animated rabbits and he has no special powers?
That's just going to confuse people. They're going to walk into the multiplex, Rob, and go, wait, it's July 30th, and what is this movie? I thought this was a Bourne movie. Why does Matt Damon have an accent all of a sudden? He's wearing, you know, he says it has a southern accent. This doesn't make sense. Where am I?
You are the best. Until next time, my friend, always knows I'm listening and I'm following you on Twitter. Adnan, I love it. Thanks for doing this, pal.
You're the best, Rob. Great to reunite, and best of luck with the junior team, and hopefully you get some family time and enjoy a little barbecue.
I appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Rob.
There you go. That's Adnan Verker, MLB Insider, and you are listening to The Nine. Sportsnet Nation, it's time to get our lives back. It's time to tee off in Whistler with Ryan Pinder. We're partnering with our friends at New West Travel for an unreal weekend, September 17th to the 20th. Return airfare on a VIP WestJet charter from Calgary to Vancouver. Exclusive departures from the private executive terminal. 3 nights at the 4-star Westin Resort and Spa, and 4 rounds of golf. One at the Big Sky Golf Course, one at Fairmount Chateau Whistler Golf Club, the Nicholas North Whistler, and the Whistler Golf Course, 4 championship courses. You got the tee times, you got your carts. There's going to be a tournament on the Saturday. They'll check your golf clubs for you. You get a check bag, you get a carry-on, no middle seats, round-trip ground transfers. This thing has everything, full trip details, and book yourself at sportsnet.ca/960. That along with our partners at New West Travel. We'll take a quick break. The Speargrass Golf Show's coming at you next right here. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Bet to the nine on the home of the Calgary Flames. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Welcome back. This is The Nine. My name is Matt Rose. I'm in for Ryan Pinder today. It's time for the Speargrass Golf Show.
The Speargrass Golf Show, brought to you by Speargrass Golf Course, Calgary's most friendly and relaxed golf experience. Just 25 minutes southeast of Calgary. Book tee times at speargrass.ca.
Plenty of golf to be done as we get into the Speargrass Golf Show. My name is Matt Rose, and listen, I'm no doctor, but I think now is an optimal time to go out for a round. I know the haze looks bad, but I was out for 18 yesterday with my dad and a friend. Course was super quiet, and we felt like the air quality was no problem. Might see a smidge of rain today, but still, it'll be a nice day to get out for a round. It's a really busy time in the pro schedule on the Champions Tour. The Senior Open Championship presented by Rolex is this weekend. The Shaw Charity Classic here in Calgary is the following stop on the Champions Tour. That's coming up in just over 3 weeks' time. On the PGA Tour, we just had American Colin Morikawa win his second major at the age of 24. Very impressive. 7 more tournaments in this PGA season, including the Olympic tournament that goes from July 29th to August the 1st for the men. Mackenzie Hughes and Corey Connors going to be representing Canada at the Games. They're not in the field for the 3M Open, which begins on Thursday for the PGA. No teams for the Olympics. The format is a 72-hole single-player cumulative score, just like any other PGA tournament. The women's tournament is going to start on August the 4th. Brooke Henderson and Alina Sharp will be representing Canada. Both of them were at the 2016 Games in Rio. Henderson finished 7th. Sharp finished 30th for the men. A first-time appearance at the Games for both Corey Connors and for Mackenzie Hughes. Lots of golf coming up. I'm looking very forward to it. Let's hear a little bit more about the winner of the Open and the Olympics. Colin Morikawa was the winner of the Open, and Adam Stanley discussed that with our Ryan Pinder.
We are sitting in the clubhouse of the Banff Springs Golf Course. How are you, sir?
Oh, not as good as you. Certainly not. That works nicely.
You were just out in these parts, what, 2 weeks ago? Did you get to the Springs? I know we saw you at Stewart Creek. You can't ask. I feel like you did the tour real quick.
Yeah, I did. But I did end up getting there one of the mornings. So, yeah, I took a couple swings on the Devil's Cauldron, took a couple swings on 14, and then I got out of there. So I saw the good stuff, but I missed all the other stuff, which is too bad.
Man, I'm telling you, it's like you went to Disneyland and just looked at the rides. I know you had to film a show and go a lot of places, but if you wanted to, you know, slow that trip down a little, I think that would have been the move.
It probably would have been the play. I'll make notes for hopefully fingers crossed of another season of this next year, and we'll slow things down ever so slightly. But I'm glad to hear you're out there. Hopefully hopefully things are looking good.
Yeah, you know what? We're excited for a good day of golf here, following the show, and happy about that. Hey, what did you make of Royal St. George and the Canadians? A couple in the top 10 on Sunday, one better Sunday than the other, but it's what, all four majors we've had Canadians in the mix on Sunday.
Yeah, it's been great to have kind of these chats every Monday throughout the major championship season with Canadians in the mix. It just, even for the casual listener who may be just a casual golf fan and more of just a general sports fan, to know that we have this constant, these Canadians who aren't just happy with getting decent results. They're legitimately having this laser-like focus on actually contending and winning these major championships. It's been amazing. So, like you said, Corey finished tied for 8th at the Masters. At the PGA, Corey was in the lead after the first day. Stumbled a little bit, but he was kind of right there in the mix. Of course, Mackenzie Hughes at the U.S. Open was in the final group on Sunday. And then here at the Open, Corey ends up stumbling a little bit for his final couple holes, finishes tied for 15th. But Mackenzie Hughes is tied for 6th, top 10 finish there. That was the best finish ever by a Canadian at the Open Championship in the tournament's history. So a very, very nice week for Mackenzie Hughes to cap off a nice major championship season for the fellas.
What does it do for him, T for 6? Obviously the invite for next year, but he's getting high enough in the rankings that there's almost not a lot left to secure, or am I wrong?
No, you're pretty much right. Like the top 10 finish at this year's Open gets him into next year at St. Andrews, which is amazing. You know, a bucket load of FedEx Cup points, obviously a ton of money. That we talk about comparatives, and the crazy thing about Mackenzie Hughes, he makes a birdie on his last hole yesterday, 72nd hole, like 20, 25 feet, rolls it in for birdie. That was like a $150,000 putt, because a tie for 6 was like $390,000, and then a tie for 8th was $240,000 or something like that. So you think about it afterwards. Hopefully you don't really think about it in the moment. But, yeah, I don't know if there's anyone really on the planet that I'd like to have a $150,000 25-footer for. But, you know, the Canadian guys, Mackenzie and Corey specifically, they're obviously off to Tokyo. They're taking this week off of the PGA Tour. Then they're going to represent Canada at the Olympics, and a ton of momentum for both those guys heading into the games.
Yeah, well, I think when the list came out, we quickly glossed over them. We knew it was going to be Hughes and Connors for a while, but how do they stack up, and are other nations getting their top two guys to Tokyo? Because Canada certainly is this year.
Yeah, I mean, you think about, just look at the United States. I mean, Colin Morikawa is going to be playing for them along with three others, so it's going to be a pretty, you know, it's top-heavy for sure. There's 60 guys on the Olympic roster. Certainly the top 30 or so are week in and week out PGA Tour guys that we would recognize and think like, hey, yeah, these guys have a nice chance to win a medal. But I would, not just being Canadian, but I think that the Canadian guys have a sneaky good chance at meddling. I mean, certainly Brooke Henderson is in kind of a league of her own from the women's golf perspective. But, you know, just the way that the guys have been playing, and I think the mental fortitude that both these guys have and the mental progress that they've made in realizing that, you know, they are
some of the top players in the world, you know, on a big stage like the Olympics. It's going to be a modified big stage because, you know, it's basically just hotel golf course back forth like it's nothing. So that may actually help them a little bit. And I think just the way that they've been playing so far could mean a sneaky medal for one of the Canadians.
So give us the primer or the refresher on Colin Morikawa, because we were talking about it before. It feels like he's been around for a while, but it also wasn't that long ago he was playing college golf. He just won a lot right away. There hasn't been a lot of messing around on lower tours and, oh, he made a cut. He just starts winning.
Yeah, he basically went right to it. But the crazy thing is, if he had stayed in school the whole time, he'd be like 1 year removed from school. So it's pretty wild how fast he got out there and just, you know, how quick he started winning. So two major championship wins already. Of course, the Open Championship yesterday, along with the PGA last summer. Crazy thing is, it was his very first ever PGA Championship, wins that one. Very first ever Open Championship, wins that one as well. So goes down in history in that regard. Him and Tiger Woods are the only people who have won the PGA and the British before turning 25. And whenever you're mentioned in the same sentence as him, it's always a good thing. So Colin Morikawa, he's pretty quiet. He's pretty reserved. He lets his golf clubs do the talking, but they talk pretty loud. He's just one of the best ball strikers on the planet. If you have an action you're trying to emulate or an approach to the game that you're trying to look at, look at how Colin Morikawa swings the golf club. And just down in the record books early in his career, and just the way that he's been playing. The putting is the thing that holds him back, but on the greens at Royal St. George's, which were super slow as compared to some of the slick greens they play week in and week out, it really wasn't a factor for him. So he goes out, hits the ball better than anybody, and ends up having, I think it was like 30 holes of bogey-free golf. And at the Open Championship, that's going to help for sure.
Spieth second, Oosthuizen third, Rahm four, two Canadians in the top 15. I can't wait for the Olympics, Adam. It's going to be a ton of fun. Thanks for your time this morning.
No worries, man. Enjoy your day.
There you go. That was Adam Stanley joining us here for the Speargrass Golf Show. Lots to do as we move towards the Olympics, the Games. Very excited for what Corey Connors and Mackenzie Hughes can show on the grandest stage of them all. That's Speargrass Golf Show.
The Speargrass Golf Show, brought to you by Speargrass Golf Course, Calgary's most friendly and relaxed golf experience. Just 25 minutes southeast of Calgary. Book tee times at speargrass.ca.
The Canadian Sport Institute Calgary is excited to announce their partnership with the Canadian Olympic Foundation for the first ever cross-country 50-50 lottery draw in support of Olympians and Paralympians. The first official draw is going to go July the 22nd, so just a couple days away, for a guaranteed $1 million prize. And while this is an exciting national initiative to support our athletes, it's especially impactful for Alberta-supported athletes, as profits gained will go directly back into provincial sport organizations in our province. The goal of Team Canada's 50-50 lottery is to enhance the development of provincial-level athletes, coaches, and technical leaders in both Olympic and Paralympic sport disciplines that are eligible to participate in the Canada Summer and Winter Games. For full details and to purchase all your tickets, head to teamcanada5050.ca/AB. Pinder Report coming at you around the corner on the 9 right here. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Bet to the 9 on the home of the Calgary Flames. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Welcome back. This is The 9. My name is Matt Rose. I'm in for Ryan Pinder. He'll be back tomorrow alongside Boomer. Today, I was alongside Rob Kerr on the morning show. We had an absolute blast. The show will be up on sportsnet.ca/960. The podcast of the entire thing will be up a little bit later on. We also had some interviews that'll be up there. Stephen Brunt, Adnan Virk, Justin Connolly. It's a good show today. I highly encourage you to check it out. But you'll be able to skip over the Pinder Report, because we got that for you right now, right here on the 9.
I'm Matt Rose.
Keep forgetting there's production, Matty.
Oh, it's a big fun thing we do here, Rob.
Yeah, it sure is. It sure is. Anyway, I digress. I've already cut greatly into your time.
Oh, we'll be fine. Not a ton today. We'll get into it. It's yesterday. Right. It started to break in the morning. Actually, about 23 hours ago, Luke Prokop tweeted out on his Twitter account, at @LukeProkop_6. The Calgary Hitmen defenseman and 2019 third-round pick of the Nashville Predators came out as gay over social media. Elliot Freeman and Jeff Merrick released a new episode of 31 Thoughts, the podcast, with much more on Luke's story. And that's where we got this clip about Luke talking about coming out in hockey.
Having a career with, you know, 3 Stanley Cups and a Norris Trophy and all these records is amazing and something that's, you know, I'm hopeful in wanting to do. But I would rather play 1 game or 2 games in the NHL and create a lasting difference or a lasting change. Have some sort of impact on the game that goes beyond the ice.
Luke has 2 more seasons of eligibility with the Hitmen and is getting set for his first pro camp with Nashville this fall.
Hey, I'm proud of the kid. You know, again, all due respect to my organization, the Nashville Predators and everybody, I cannot stress this enough. This is not their story. This is Luke's story. And what he did yesterday, I keep coming back to it. He's going to save lives. He will. He will. He will be a beacon for those who are struggling with their identity, struggling telling someone. Again, his authentic self is the word that he used, and he feels he's going to play his best hockey now because he feels he can be his authentic self. Everybody deserves a right to be their authentic self. So to me, you know, I've known him for a couple of seasons, and I've known him as a leader. I know him as a good hockey player, and people that know me know that when I say this, he impresses me far more off the ice than he does on the ice. He's always been front and center for us in our community initiatives, working with the Heroes kids, the Superheroes kids, you know, going to minor hockey practices. If I was hiring, I would hire Luke Prokop already, and now because of this, he's awesome. I'm so proud of the kid.
Elliot Freeman reporting it, perhaps the first signing for Seattle. Goaltender Chris Drieger, formerly of the Florida Panthers, signing a 3-year contract worth $3.5 million per season with the expansion draft on Wednesday. That would be the Kraken's.
Release the Kraken!
The Kraken's first selection. That would be their pick from Florida. It won't be made official until Wednesday. Could they still be in on Carey Price? Elliot Freeman said this yesterday on The Big Show.
I mean, there's Holtby, there's Kakanen, there's Vanacek, who I really liked last year. Like, there's some good goalies there. And I think they planned on taking a few of them and keeping some and moving some others for more picks and prospects. Like, somebody said to me, there's no way they're spending $14 million in goal. I said, like, if you're comfortable with Price and Drieger as your combination, why wouldn't you?
Well, so first of all, Maddie, how about you? Who would you take? Because I got to be honest with you, the Kakanen kid from Minnesota intrigues me the hell out of me. And the same thing with, is it Vanacek out of Washington? I apologize.
Yep.
I don't think I'm.
Yeah, nope, okay. That's a bingo.
Right? And I'm like, holy crap. But I keep forgetting, you know, it's an expansion draft, but you don't have to keep them, right? You don't have to keep them.
The Golden Knights flipped 5 of the players within a week that they had selected for picks.
And if you're a team like, I don't know, say the Oilers, do you have your goalie of the future? I don't think you have your goalie of the future.
Do you believe in Stuart Skinner that much?
Well, would you, you know, jump the line for one of those kids?
Well,
the Carey Price one, because of the injuries and everything, I think that's going to give them pause, you know. The other, and I don't know, did you guys talk about this? I have 2 things. One, how much did you guys talk about the fact of that reporting that, and I think it was Eric Engels that reported or somebody reported it, that the NHL has told Seattle that they can't draft him or take him in the expansion draft and then trade him back to Montreal and eat salary? That's, I hadn't even thought of that.
Cap circumvention,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And the other one is that Liam Neeson clip from the remake
Clash of Titans.
Release the Kraken.
Okay, so that clip. How much do you guys play that clip?
I like to go between that and then this one.
And let this day be cursed by we who ready to wake. The Kraken.
But that one's a bit much, so we usually just play the short one.
You have to wait for the payoff there.
Yeah.
You have to wait for the payoff.
And it's like, even after he says Kraken, it goes on for a little while because Davy Jones or Orlando Bloom's dad yells. Like, yeah, it's a big...
What?
It's from Pirates of the Caribbean.
It is it? Swing and a
drive. It was a banger. Swing and a
drive. We like our team, Barry.
Yeah, game one of the Jays and Red Sox was yesterday. Last series in Buffalo for the Birds. Ross Stripling, he can't wait to get to Toronto. What a rough first inning for Ross.
Hits this ball high and deep to left field, and this is going to be gone. A first Major League home run for Jaron Duran goes the opposite field.
That sounds surprised.
Pass ball upstairs, and that is high and deep, and Springer's going to watch this one go. Grand slam home run for Hunter Renfroe. Big inning for Boston, 6-0.
Gulp. Buck was feeling that one's going to be a long tilt.
Holy crap. Now, I'll come back to the Jays in a second. Did you happen to look at the scoreboard last night?
Like the Blue Jays scoreboard?
No, the MLB scoreboard.
Yeah, I'll get there in just a moment.
Oh, okay. Okay, so listen, Rod, are you going to play some Stripling clips?
Well, first I was going to play this because I was going to say, well, they went to Anthony Kay in the rest of the first inning because you're kind of stepping all over the story here. But Anthony Kay came in. Would he relieve?
1-1 pitch to Kike Hernandez. Swing and a drive. This ball has gone way back. Another home run for Boston here in the first.
Yeah.
Kike Hernandez with his 12th.
Yeah.
8-0 Boston.
Yeah, so Anthony Kay didn't do that well either. The Jays fall 12-4. Jays will play two road series before heading to Toronto to continue their season.
Hold it.
They lost 13-4.
Yeah, don't rob Boston of a run here.
Yeah, Ross Stripling, not really mentally focused.
And on Wednesday, I'm going to have to say bye to my family for 2 months, which is actually weighing on me much harder than I want it to be. And I think, you know, when you're not, for one, you don't have your good stuff and you're not in a 100% mentally focused, that lineup can punish you. And that's what they did. You know, that was they did that to me in Dunedin and they did it to me today.
Chicken strips. Can't wait to get to Toronto and just figure out this season. Blowouts across the majors
now,
yesterday.
Hold on. Wait a minute. Slow down. I'm new here. What?
Chicken strips. Ron Stripling. Strips.
Is that legit?
That's what we call them, right, Riles? That's what me and you call them.
Yeah, that's his name.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Thank you. Okay.
Blowouts.
Chicken strips.
Blowouts across the majors yesterday as the Nationals led the Marlins 18-0 at one point. The Tigers led the Rangers 14-0. And the Bo Sox led the Jays 12-0. Fourth time in MLB history that three teams have held a 12-0 lead on a single day. Woof.
See, but I was looking a couple of days ago when there was a day like that. Like, it's not, there's been a couple of days like that recently, hasn't there?
Not with, like, the 12-0 victories. The last one was in like 2006 or 2007.
No. But I'm talking about double digit. This is what I was thinking of. I was looking back at Friday. There was a 24-8 game, San Diego over the Nationals, 11-6 Brewers over the Reds, 10-2 Jays over the Rangers, and Dodgers 10-4 over the Rockies. You know, it was worse. But there's been, the runs are getting scored right now. Is that perhaps because of the lack of Spidey tack?
Perhaps. I haven't noticed a discernible change. We'll have to do a deep dive on the numbers.
Oh, I think the numbers will defend that hypothesis of mine.
Alek Manoah was supposed to go today. It'll be Thomas Hatch instead. Manoah fell down the dugout stairs, bruised his back.
I'm sorry, what?
He fell down the dugout stairs.
He fell down the dugout stairs.
10-day injured list for Manoah. Listen, he's like 6'8 and 240 pounds. Like, you fall down the stairs that way.
I'm 6'3 and more than that, and I don't fall downstairs. I'm just saying.
But if you did, like, how many days would you be on the IL?
The Expo. This wouldn't happen to the Expo.
Oh, okay. That's,
I'm just saying.
That's where we're going here. Okay.
This wouldn't happen with the Expo.
Garrett Richards will counter for the Sox. WCBL.
Boo! Look out! Let the big dog eat!
Dogs Red back in action down at Siemens Stadium tonight. They'll take on the Lethbridge Bulls. First pitch at 7:05. That's like their song. They play it when they win. They requested that we play it for the Dogs.
The Dogs requested the station to play that when they win.
They didn't. The intern who works for the Dogs told me that they would, like, it's just a thing.
So now we take requests from teams?
Not always, no.
It's just, I don't mind it. I'm just wondering. I'm not because I have a few thoughts on the Hittman victories, but
if
that's where we're moving towards.
It was that or it was this.
Yeah.
Okay. And I don't think we needed that. So
were you alive when that song was released?
Yeah, I was alive when Who Let the
When
Dogs
it came
out?
Out?
Yeah.
When did it come out? Like, how old are you? 40? What? Like, that's a mid-90s song.
Yeah,
right?
And I was...
Okay, fine, that's fine.
It was born... That's 2000,
did you see the,
I was seven.
That was the Baja Men, right?
Yeah.
And if I remember correctly, they actually went on Saturday Night Live and performed that. I might be misremembering, but I remember, like, it's kind of like that episode of The Simpsons. Dexy's Midnight Runners won Best New Vocal. Well, we haven't heard the last of them. I guess we have.
I can't find anything about the Baja Men on SNL. Oh, here we go. October 21st, 2020, perhaps.
2020?
Or 2010. 2000. What have you done to me?
Well,
we're moving on to the NBA.
I
we
blame
have to get to
chicken
Steven
strips.
Brunt. And it's game six of the NBA Finals tonight. Giannis and the Bucks are looking to eliminate the Suns after they lost the first two games. Since game two, Chris Paul has yet to break 22 points for the Suns. Giannis's brother, no action for the Bucks tonight. He is in the COVID protocol. But we're looking forward to this one. It's going to be on Sportsnet, 7 o'clock start.
What are we going to do next July?
Like when there's no sports again?
No. When there isn't all sports again. Because next July, we will be into a CFL season. We'll be into an MLB season. We'll be still a week away from NFL camps. But we won't be having drafts and expansion drafts, and we won't be having NBA finals. Like, really, you know, this is pretty cool. And I'm excited for Milwaukee. I said it to Adnan. I'm not sure where you come down on this. Sports is such a copycat enterprise. Right? So LeBron gets three friends and goes to Miami. So, a decade later, everybody's getting three friends and going to places. It's kind of nice. It's kind of refreshing to have these two teams in the final. But I'm also a little bit of a realist. I think if you look at how the Suns, not taking anything away from them, but the Suns, were the, played teams that were missing bodies, as did, that's to me the season is the injuries and the toll that it took on these players. Do you think these teams are back next year? Is it possible that Giannis is going for number two in a row or Chris Paul is going for number two in a row? I don't know.
I'd say more likely on Giannis, less on Chris Paul.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Exciting 15th round action at the Canadian Football League draft.
The Saskatchewan Rough Riders scored only four rouges all last season.
CFL teams had to make their first set of cuts yesterday. Second set will come on July the 30th. 10 days from now, the Stamps released receiver George Campbell, defensive lineman Khalil Morris, receiver Bernard Reedy, linebacker Darrell Williams. They're all Americans. They also released Aussie kicker punter Gerard Laws.
Any surprises?
No, not at all. The only one I'd really noticed was Gerard Laws, and that's pretty much because he was Australian.
Right.
Fast kicking, low scoring, and ties. You bet.
The Canadian Soccer Association announced the return of the Canadian Championship. Cavalry's first round is going to be in Edmonton on August the 15th. Their next game is Thursday when they play Forge FC. You like that? You like that one?
I do. You know why?
Why?
I like fun.
Yeah, I know.
And I like
you
my
do.
Sports being fun. I love it. I'm excited for the Cavalry to get back to ATCO Field. I'm excited for it. In many ways, I thought, a great Calgary sports story, the inaugural season, the growth, what they're doing out at Spruce Meadows, they had already built a culture. They have a culture. But where it was going to go, I just want to see people back enjoying sports again. Very excited for them, and this is another step forward.
Yesterday, Canada announced their flag bearers for the games. Nathan Hirayama, the men's rugby player, and Miranda Am, the women's basketball player, are going to be your co-flag bearers. Three athletes in the village have tested positive for COVID-19, two South African men's soccer players, as well as a Czech beach volleyball player. The events actually begin late tonight. Canada will face Mexico in softball at midnight. Lou's staying up for that one. The Canadian women will face Japan in soccer at 4 a.m. tomorrow. And, that's pretty much all I got.
That's it?
That's it.
And good night and good luck to you, sir.
And that is the Pinder Report. That'll pretty much do it for the nine. Thank you so much for listening today. My name is Matt Rose. I've been in for Ryan, who will be back tomorrow. We had Adnan Virk on the show. Stephen Brunt joined us. Justin Connolly from the Calgary Pioneers joined us to talk a little bit about Luke Prokop. We had What You Want to Talk About. It'll all be up for you in our podcast, A Boomer in the Morning, coming up a little bit later on. Rintoul and Sermon is next. The big show's at 2. Blue Jays take on the Boston Red Sox at 5 o'clock. We'll join that in progress at 6 right here on Sportsnet 960. That'll do it for the show today. We'll talk to you tomorrow, my friends, right here on the 9, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.